This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9. My name is Doug Pollard. We'll be devoting most of the rest of the show to talking about what's happening at the Victorian College of Arts, or rather what's not happening at the Victorian College of Arts if the new Dean, Sharman Pretty, gets her way. We have a couple of students from the college here in the studio, Gabe Partington and Justin Alstein. We'll be talking also, we hope, we've got our fingers firmly crossed, to Julia Zamira. A little later on. This is America with Sister Golden Hair. Well, wasn't that nice? Nice to have some of the oldies around here, and I do love that song. Meeting in the Middle, of course, is one of the lines from that song, which is what brought it to my mind. Meeting in the Middle is what doesn't seem to be happening between the Victorian College of Arts and the students who attend there, or indeed many of the academics. You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9, and my guests the rest of this hour are Gabe Partington, who's studying drama at the college, and Justin Alstein, who's studying film. And we're hoping to have a word with Julia Zamira on the phone a little later on. So first off, give us a bit of history behind here. Which one of you wants to go first? Justin, how has this kind of dispute arisen? Why is the college having a fight with the university?
Well, the short of it is that I think in 2003, I think it was, the VCA lost its federal funding from the government. And as such, it had to, I'm not going to use the word merge because I don't like the word merge.
Amalgamate,
even that word has a slightly negative connotation, but it had to become a faculty of Melbourne Uni in order for it to survive.
Right, so it's money.
It certainly is.
Okay, it's money. Now, you've also, I'm going to use the dreaded merge word here, this has also put the Victorian College of Arts together with the music faculty the university itself. So you're now split across two campuses, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, we are split across two campuses, yeah. The music school is the only one that sort of crosses those two campuses.
Right.
This is the first year that they've sort of called it the Faculty of the Victorian College of the Arts and Music.
So VACAM, as it is, you know, to
yes.
the students and the...
VACAM or something.
Oh, dear.
Bit of a clumsy name, but I gather they've got it in mind to change that once they've got you properly merged.
Indeed.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, the University of Melbourne, I think, Faculty of Arts, or along those lines.
So what's so bad about being part of the University of Melbourne, Gabe?
Well, nothing as such. I mean, the university would be fine if they allowed us to train in the same way that we have been in the last sort of 25, 30... How long has the faculty been going for? Many years now. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is that they're trying to implement... In fact, they're imposing the implementation of the University of Melbourne model, which essentially means we need to take away our undergraduate courses, make them generic arts, creative arts courses, fine arts degrees, and then do an extra 2 years afterwards. So this is like 5 years, essentially, for the same training that we get with a 3-year degree currently.
Okay, now let's backtrack here slightly.
Yeah, no.
What's
sure.
the difference between the kind of training you get now in the old model, if I can call it that?
Yes, no, please.
Don't call it that.
And the existing model, shall we say. How is that different from what you would get under the Melbourne model?
The main thing about going to the VCA is that the philosophy that sort of underpins pretty much all of its teaching is that you do practical studio-based classes that are taught by people who teach at the university and by
industry professionals,
industry experts,
as well. Yep.
Who come in on a sessional basis to tutor us as well. The Melbourne model would, I think, fly in the face of that as much as Melbourne Uni tries to tell us that it won't.
There's been a lot of backing and filling on that by Sharman Pretty, I must say. Because on the one hand, she says it's got to fit into the Melbourne model, which means you do a kind of generalised degree for a bit,
mm-hmm.
and then you go on to do another couple of years at postgraduate level.
And pay for it too.
And of course, I was going to say, you've now got 5 years of study to pay for instead of three.
Precisely.
Which is very nice for the University of Melbourne. I can't get it very clear from what she's been saying where this practical component that we're talking about would fit in. Would that be in those first 3 years, or would you have to wait till you got to the postgrad years
is the issue, is that the communication has been really limited between the student body, the teachers, and Ms. Sharman-Pretty, the dean of the faculty. Of course, what we understand, though, is that there will be a massive cut in practical hours, and in fact, there'll be at least a 25% increase in breath subjects, which means, of course, that as acting student, I'd need to go up to the faculty, another faculty or another department.
Let's just stop you there for a second. What's a breath subject?
A breath subject, yeah, good question. It's essentially... Well, we just go for it.
Well, all right. Let me try and help you out here.
No, please.
Because I was a student once.
Yes, back in the day.
Okay, I did a major in American Studies.
Yes.
At Manchester University in the UK. But the way the degree was structured was that for the first 2 years, you had to do two other courses in other departments in the university. So I actually did drama as one of my secondary subjects, and the other one was PPE, politics, philosophy, and economics. Hence why I'm a rather politically minded journalist these days.
Those
days. It sounds a bit like those secondary subjects, these bread things. So you've got your core subject, whatever it may happen to be, but you then have to go off and study other things as well, which you may or may not want to do.
Already we've sort of got, at undergraduate level, we have what's called the Centre for Ideas, which is, I think it's a 17.5% component of all undergraduate courses. And it's a cross-disciplinary sort of arrangement where you, in second year, you choose an elective and you have a class with, you know, a few film students, a few drama students, a few dance students, and that's the breadth component at the moment, and the aim is to sort of, you know, just facilitate communication and liaison and collaboration across the different art forms. So that's their brand of breadth at the moment. I'd sort of argue that that's even still in its sort of teething stages. It hasn't quite gotten to the level that I think they want it to get to. The breadth component that is going to be offered by the Melbourne model will be sort of even more broad kind of subjects than that, and we're not 100% sure what percentage they will make up of the courses.
Sounds a little bit like somebody is trying not to be too specific in order to get something passed and then nail it down afterwards, and you're stuck with it.
Yeah, that seems to be the modus operandi.
You can tell I've been involved in academic politics in the past, can't you?
No, we appreciate it immensely. Look, if the Melbourne model gets implemented, there is a requirement of 25% of the undergraduate course will be consisting of these breadth subjects. I put in my inverted brackets there for you. But that's a massive chunk out of what we currently do, which is around, 80% of our work is practical. So you take away another 25% of that, you put it into a breadth subject or a subject that doesn't actually have any sort of direction in terms of what we currently do. That's taking a lot away from what we want to be and making us experts in our own field.
Yeah.
The thing that sort of is quite sort of alarming and really, really frustrating about this as well is that the university, and certainly Sharman-Pretty, just do not seem to understand that our courses are sort of broad in their own sense. Like, people from my course don't just sort of end up becoming solely directors and writers. They work as cinematographers, as editors, as collaborators, camera assistants, all the sort of varying sort of breadth within the film industry. And they just sort of fail to sort of see that.
I don't know. Sharman said that this new breadth course would enable you to do things like sort of take tickets.
Yes, you like that one.
We all need to do an undergraduate degree to learn how to tear tickets, don't
we? Because, you know, actors can't only act these days, and dancers certainly can't just dance.
Well, she talked about the department being, I think the phrase she used was incredibly siloed.
Siloed and narrow, I believe, was the word. Narrow. Which is very sort of, I think it's very pointed and quite insulting, frankly.
Well, there's a comment here from James just coming on the SMS. He says, I feel really sorry for you guys. The Melbourne model is, at the end of the day, not practical at all.
Indeed.
If you want to study in a certain field, you should have the choice to do so in the normal amount of time, you know, like every other university does.
Yes.
The fact they're making students do a generic program before a specific one totally undermines the students by assuming that you don't know what you want to do. I think that's probably a fairly valid point, but I would bring up another one, which is that whether we like it or not, careers in the arts tend, particularly, it's not perhaps not so much in the case of film, but certainly in the case of acting and certainly in the case of dancing, they tend to be young people's careers. In the case of dancers, quite short. as well. So if you're keeping people off the market, as it were, for an extra couple of years, that's not going to help, is it?
Indeed. Like, if you're doing a five-year degree to get into the dance field, for example, that's, you know, you get into this school when you're 18, say, you come out when you're 23, you've probably got another 5 years on you before your body can't physically take it. That's not possible then to be wasting an extra 2 years just to learn how to write a better essay, when actually what you need to learn is how to do a very good pirouette, you know, like, they're really different things.
Yeah, it's a strange thing, but I suppose, trying to look at it from the university's point of view, they have a standard model that they've introduced, which is not popular in other subjects, I should add.
Yeah, indeed.
This sort of 3-2 thing, this very American model, actually. Mm. There's been a lot of talk about it just being done for the money and all that, but having decided that that is the model they're going to work with, a course like the ones you're describing, it doesn't fit within that kind of bureaucratic pattern.
No.
So in order to administer it, they're going to have to do something different, which is going to cost them more money. I suppose this is a large part of their argument, because, of course, that's the way they think, because they're bureaucrats. They're not actually educators, if I can be rude enough to say that. But that's what it sounds like to me. That you don't fit into the appropriate system.
No.
Do you see any kind of possibility of meeting in the middle, of making some kind of compromise?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole thing, is that it's not about compromise, but it is definitely about dialogue. We haven't been involved in that dialogue. Shaman Pretty, the head of our faculty, has only just called the first one.
I think it's going on right now, actually.
It's right now, today. I hope they're listening. Shaman, if you're listening, we're
angry.
That's why you couldn't come on the show, Shaman.
Oh. Precisely, though. This is the first one.
We could have sent down an outside broadcast unit and put you to air. You know, you could have had this whole meeting out in public, broadcast by joy.
But,
you know,
Doug, this is what I'm saying, though, is, like, communication has been stifled. So if they wanted to talk about how to work this Melbourne model in with us, how to work this place with this this new institution, with the Victorian Colleges of the Arts, we would have been more than willing. But the thing is that the communication was stifled a long time ago, not from our perspective. We'd actually sent plenty of messages. We've attempted many meetings, but it hasn't been possible.
Amateur students, who cares?
Yes, of course. No, we're the only ones paying for the bloody course.
You don't have all the experience. Yeah, I can hear it now. Yeah.
The hope was to sort of almost bring it in without us even knowing about it. And they were sort of very, very calculated when Shaman started and so forth. And it was almost like they were trying to do it behind our backs.
Yeah, and what's happened from this, actually, which is really scary, and I imagine a lot of the tutors at the faculty would understand what I'm saying by this, and certainly the students do, that there's actually an era of fear at the moment. There's this kind of, we're living in a realm of fear at the moment because people aren't allowed to speak up. Teachers, if they speak, there is the possibility that they will be axed, because, of course, there's another big issue in that there is a massive staff cuts coming in. And this is making a claustrophobic environment where we cannot actually practice our art form or practice our, you know, get an education that we require.
Well, obviously, there's an awful lot to say on this subject.
Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is.
And we will come back to that in a moment. You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9. We're talking about the Victorian College of Arts.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station.
SMS Freshly Dug 0427 Joy 949. Freshly Dug until midday on Joy 94.9.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you. We're talking about the problems at the Victorian College of the Arts and their stoush with their new, I suppose owners would be a bad word to use, the University of Melbourne. Now, when comedian, actor and SBS Rockwiz host Julia Zamiro auditioned for a place at the Victorian College of Arts, she soon realised she didn't want to study drama anywhere else. Why was that, Julia?
Hello there.
Nice to have you aboard.
Oh, great to be aboard. You know, a lot of school kids always would ask me when I was touring high schools doing Shakespeare, you know, which school should I audition for? And I said, you should audition for all of them, because when you go, you always get a different feeling from the teachers who run it and from the students who turn up and what you're asked to do. And after having auditioned for NIDA twice, and which seemed like a really big, enormous factory, not that they haven't produced amazing people, but it did seem like a factory. WAPA didn't exist at the time. Mm-hmm. Nepean was still there in New South Wales, but when I went to the VCA audition, I thought, uh-oh, I really loved that, and I really loved their approach to work, and they were quite clear about how you had to make your own work as a performer, And I thought, well, that's what that's the sort of place I want to go to. And then to get in and get this incredible level of training from, you know, permanent staff and part-time staff was fantastic.
So it's a different kind of place. This is a story I've been hearing from everywhere. It's a different kind of place to almost anywhere else, isn't it? I gather it was modelled on the Juilliard in New York in its intense kind of direct involvement with your art, if I can call it that.
I guess so. I mean, I've never really heard that comparison before, but for me, it was just completely hands-on, and it didn't hype up what the industry was. I sometimes feel like, I don't know, you've got to be really careful why you go into performing in the first place, whatever field you're following, be it, you know, art or music or ballet. If you're going in it to be famous, it's just not going to work, and it's going to be really disappointing.
Well, no, to do that, you go on Australian Idol, or so you think you can dance Australia, don't you?
And then you get shut out in 5 minutes, and you might not have anything to fall back on, which is your training. And, you know, that's the thing. You see those people on Australian Idol, a lot of them fold because they've never actually had a regular experience of auditioning, because every Sunday night is an audition for them. They're auditioning again to get through to the following week. And the whole point of training and of then going out to audition after audition after audition and often not getting them is that you get better at it. You get better at that weird thing that actors have to do. They're professional job auditionees. That's what they do.
That sounds really, really horrible.
The reality.
Once you realise it's part of the gig, you go, well, that's part of... I used to trick myself into thinking, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't just think about that audition you're doing today. Fill the day with lots of other things and make it just part of your working day. And at VCA, they certainly trained you up for that.
Now, one of the criticisms of the courses and the way the place is run at the moment, and I don't understand why this is a criticism, but criticism is that it produces elite dancers and filmmakers and actors. Why would you not want to produce elite people?
I'm gobsmacked. I don't know. I just don't know, and it will be interesting to find out what that is. I mean, I don't know. It's sometimes I think it's funny. Coming from the Dean, it's very odd because she actually trained as a musician, and you would think she would have the artist.
I think she played the oboe, didn't she?
Something like that.
The artist interest at heart, so it's kind of odd because, you know, sometimes I think in Australia, and I think you'll agree with me, you know, if you're a little bit too good at what you do and you know that you're good and you have the guts to be immodest and say, well, actually, I think I'm quite good at this, people go, oh, you're a bit up yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, you get cut down, absolutely.
You do a bit.
Tall poppy syndrome, it's right.
And in France, I mean, that's where I was born and I spent a bit of time over there, if you say you're an actor, the first question isn't have you done any ads, but it's theatre, film, you know, what exactly... Mm. And so maybe that's part of it, but I would expect more from the Dean to kind of sort of point out that specialisation is old hat and that elite is something you don't want. I mean, Geoffrey Rush, you know how you can remember when terrible things happen in history? I think a lot of people can remember the first time Geoffrey Rush got his Oscar.
Yeah.
And I remember genuinely feeling so rapt. Mm. And it was like, well, is this what it takes for us to be taken seriously now? And here's someone at one of our major training institutions saying, you know, just be half good, don't be very good.
Yeah. Be mediocre at lots of things and not really good at one thing.
Yeah. As you can tell, Julia, we've got a couple of students. Living and breathing it every day. Yeah, we got Gabe Partington, who's studying drama, and Justin Olstein, who's studying film. And they are obviously extremely angry about what's happening here. Now, there's going to be a demonstration tomorrow, I understand, Julia.
Yeah.
Are you going to be out there with your rah-rah skirt on, revving up the crowd?
Gee, what a great idea. I'm going to have a rah-rah skirt. Weather permitting, it'll be on. I'll have that rah-rah skirt on. Look, I do believe I'll be emceeing the top of the day, I'm just wrapped to be doing. I mean, I've emceed some pretty great gigs, but this will be particularly exciting because, you know, it is my old school and I do believe in what's going on. And, you know, those students have just done the most extraordinary work in kind of putting on a mini arts festival in the city to a contest. And I think you're going to be in for a big surprise tomorrow. And we really want this to become a news item, not just an arts story. It's news, and
it is indeed.
You know, we'll be. It'll be creative. There'll be lots of good choreography going on.
Oh, absolutely.
And that walk up to into the city and up to Spring Street will be pretty amazing. So even if you can take half a day off or a couple of hours off, do, because in 10 years' time, or even when you're old and grey, if the VCA has been saved, you can say, "I was there on that day. I helped."
Great. Well, thank you very much for that, Julia. We look forward to catching sight of you tomorrow. Okay, thank you very much, Julia Zamiro. Now, all week you've been doing a series of events.
Indeed, you've
had a tent city running. Where is that?
Yes, we've got the tent city. If you have been on the tram down St Kilda Road or driven past, you would have seen our tent city. There's approximately 45 to 50 tents out there. We've had about...
Where is this?
Just on St Kilda Road at the front of the VCA on...
Just before South Bank Boulevard.
Just before you get to the NGV as well, so...
Right.
And it's a creative little place. We've got musicians going there, playing music in the day, at night. We've got music going. We've got the sausage sizzle. I've been cooking up a storm down there. and we've also got about 100 students last night. It was an incredible little party that we had. And, you know, we've been making sure that people are aware of what's going on. We're getting signed petitions from that as well.
The fact that we're sort of there since Sunday as well, I think, is also... you know, helped with our the visibility of our campaign.
Absolutely.
In the lead up to tomorrow's protest, which has been great.
We've had some people sign petitions purely because we've been out in the wet and cold for more than a couple of days
Bit of sacrifice,
absolutely.
That's good. Okay, we just got a little bit of a message here from Will Conyers, who does Broadway at Bedtime.
Yep.
Yes.
On this station. He says, "The thing that pisses me off is that once again a government body, the Melbourne University that we pay for, is actively perpetrating and feeding into a myth that we as performing arts practitioners, performing arts practitioners do is not elite. That the various forms of theatre and music are not elite, vital and imperative for a sane society. We've been fighting this mindset since the Greeks. It's our job to make it look like it's easy, for Christ's sakes. But to arrive at that transparency of illusion takes enormous skill, hours of confrontation and brutal self-assessment." You know, he's behind you there. Okay, tell me all about the demo.
Tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning at the front of the VCA in the South Bank Boulevard there, you will find a massing of people. We're going to be demonstrating up to Parliament House.
Okay, and what time is this?
10 o'clock in the morning.
10 o'clock tomorrow morning at the VCA.
At the VCA.
Just down by the NGV.
Indeed.
On St Kilda Pillar.
And you will find many a people there in beautiful, colourful costumes.
Okay, thank you, Gabe Partington and Justin Olstein from the VCA.
Can I just say, this one is for all the students of the VCA and the tutors who have supported us on this campaign. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. This is the final countdown.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy. A diverse sound for a diverse community.